Welcome to the worship service here at Marvin Methodist Church in downtown Tyler, Texas. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. We celebrate today Thanksgiving Sunday. I'll be sharing on the importance of gratitude as we gather with friends and family to offer our praise and thanksgiving to a loving and gracious God. Let's join in as the sermon is underway.
It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. This is word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, friends, I hope you've enjoyed the service. I'm just praying that this will be maybe a new tradition at Marvin Church, that we'll have lots of lay involvement on Thanksgiving Sunday. We'll have great music, we'll have some testimony, and it will be a wonderful celebration that will rival Christmas Eve at Marvin Church. What do you think? That's a vision. Let's be thankful. Let's set the tone for our community. The Thanksgiving Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, is a time to celebrate and be joyful. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your written word, the means of grace, everything that you've given us so lavishly. So Lord, come, Holy Spirit, now as your word is proclaimed, do a good work in our hearts. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, the expression, so much to think about, usually is used when a person is overwhelmed, is trying to process lots of information, is needing to make a decision, so they need to step back and get a bigger view of things. And so I left myself thinking about, as I played with this sermon title, so much to think about. Doug, have you ever been overwhelmed by being thankful? I'm not really sure I've ever been overwhelmed with gratitude, but I'm willing to try. This service is designed with all of its scripture readings and all of the prayers that have been so beautifully lifted up in the music to get us going into this week with gratitude in our hearts to a great and gracious and benevolent God who has blessed us so many ways. So, as we unpack the scripture today, there are three things that I'll be working on, and I want to share with you the back of the bulletin to take some notes. There'll be some nuggets maybe you'd like to write down, and this is the first point. Is it good to praise the Lord? It is good to praise the Lord and make music to the Most High God. We'll then move into, we are to think of God's attributes, His love and His faithfulness, not only day and night, but at any time. And our hearts, thirdly, are to be glad by the deeds of the Lord, the work of God's hands. So let's get underway here. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to the Most High God. It is good. And as I started studying that this week, I thought, it is good sounds very familiar. And then I was drawn back to Genesis chapter 1, where God is creating the world as we know it. And as He creates day one, He steps back and says, it is good. And then day two, the same thing, it is good. And He carries on throughout the days of His creation saying, it is good. How wonderful it must be then when His created beings, made on the very last, that sixth day before the Sabbath rest, those who are made in His image declare that this world is good and that the people around us are good, and we begin to thank God for the creation, for the people, for the memories, for the blessings, and for our God and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, as Sean had us reading in the beginning of the service. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. And as we are drawn into this litany of praise, I believe God smiles. I believe God says, this is good. My creation is giving thanks for all of the blessings that are around them. So friends, it is good to God when we praise, but it is also good for you. Now, I did some study this week, and I've researched through social science. We've got psychology, social workers, mental health workers, and also counselors all saying the very same thing. I'm grouping this into three categories, and I want to challenge everyone in this room. Go onto your web browser and research for yourself on your iPhone or on your computer. Just type in the positive effects of gratitude, and you will begin to see research after research and study after study about what happens to a human being when they begin to embrace gratitude in their lives. Gratitude opens the door for better and even more relationships, and it will also improve your relationship with God. Friends, if you will begin to, if you're not already doing so, to say thank you more aggressively to people when they serve you. Thank you for doing this. Or to write a letter of thanks and a handwritten note to those who have been at your meetings, to those who have bought your lunch, to those who are meaningful in relationship with. Just a simple thank you note, let me tell you, it will begin to get their attention and they will be drawn closer to you. And the same is with God. If you will begin to offer into your prayer life, not just this is what I need today, Lord, but Lord, I adore you. And Lord, I praise you. And I want to thank you for these blessings in my life. It will begin to transform your relationship with God. Gratitude opens the door for better relationships, but gratitude also improves your physical health. Being thankful is linked to having better sleep quality, having fewer aches and pains, lowering one's blood pressure, increasing our immunity. So when we are grateful for our many blessings, when we are grateful to God, we are more healthy. And gratitude, thirdly, is good for your mental and emotional health. It strengthens resilience. It reduces negative emotions like resentment and regret. It combats stress and depression, and it will elevate your self-esteem. Gratitude, friends, especially to the younger people in the audience today and online, gratitude will improve your mental health. The psalmist is saying to us, it is good to offer our praise and thanks to God. Not only does it please our Heavenly Father, it is good for you. So, you may have understood or seen that I'm interchanging the words praise and thank in this, because it could say in the scriptures for us today, in the opening verse, it is good to thank the Lord and make music to your name. Because the word, I began to study the different scriptures, began to see that some translations said praise and some translations said thank. And then I realized that the word was yada in Hebrew. Yada! That's one way to remember it. You know what the definition of yada, I know in Hebrew it's probably like yachda. It is to offer one praise, and it also means to be thankful, and it also means to show reverence and awe to God as one lifts one's hands in praise. Sometimes you'll see me lifting a hand as I sing. And friends, it is for me an opportunity to offer my praise to God. I am adoring Him and praising Him and thanking Him. Yada. It is good to praise the Lord. And as we've heard this morning, it is good to make music to our Lord through our hymns and our songs that we sing. We praise God. We thank God for His many attributes. The Thanksgiving reading that Sean started our worship service today, actually, friends, guess what? It is a hymn that is in many hymnals. It is not in ours, but it's in many hymnals. It was written by August Ludwig Storm in 1891. Does 1891 sound familiar to anybody in the room? In 1891, the Methodists at Marvin Church begin to worship in this beautiful sanctuary that we gather in today. And we thank God for their vision, their foresight to offer us such a beautiful place. We stand here worshiping in the sanctuary, singing the hymns of the church and singing to God just as they did over 100 and something years ago, 130, whatever it is, years ago now. Today, we adopt the Thanksgiving reading out of a hymn, and we share it as a reading. But guess what? Poems were usually written and then put to music that became our hymns in our hymnal. And in fact, the scripture lesson that I read from Psalm 92, it is intended to be sung because it is in the worship book of God's people from the book of Psalms. Friends, we also talk about in verse 1, it is good to praise, to thank the Lord, and make music to your name, O Most High. O Most High, God Most High, in Hebrew, El Elyon, or Elohim Yahweh, the two names of the Old Testament for God. You put them together, and you get the God Most High. This means, friends, that God on this Christ the King Sunday is supreme. He is the most exalted being. He has the ultimate power and authority over all things. He is higher in rank, title, beauty, position, and intelligence. There is no God, there is no idol or created being that should ever be worshiped or exalted above God. God is superior in every way. And friends, on Christ the King Sunday, we lift up Jesus, God's Son, the second member of the Holy Trinity, three in one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only do we come together to praise and thank God, we come today to celebrate His attributes. The psalmist mentions love and then also mentions faithfulness. And that we are to think of God's attributes of love and faithfulness day and night. What attributes today can you thank God for? Now, I know the internet gets a bum rap. Sometimes people spend too much time on trivial things. But let me tell you, the good thing about the internet is you can find some amazing things that people have created. Yesterday, I put in the attributes of God. I challenge you to do that. And I found listed about third or fourth, someone put together the attributes of God listed in alphabetical order. A through Z, the attributes of God. I want to share them with you. Able. God is able to do far more than I could ever ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. Beautiful. I want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. Psalm 27, verse 4. Compassionate. With an everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord. Isaiah 54:8. God is also our defender. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of need. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is eternal. The Lord is everlasting God. Isaiah 40. Faithful. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22 through 23. I'm not going through the whole alphabet. Sorry, friends. But I am going to give you Z because I was curious. What is Z going to be? And I found out it means zeal. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this, Isaiah 37:32. I don't know about you all, but when we took road trips, driving as a family, we'd play little games, the alphabet game. Let's find something that starts with the letter A. Anybody else do this? Let's find a billboard. You see the letter B, or there's a sign on a business that has the letter C. But I want to challenge you, if you're driving for Thanksgiving, to play the attributes of God game and see how far you can go. I primed you up today, friends, by giving you the A, the B, and the C, and the D. So get started. He is beautiful, and He is able, and He's compassionate, and He is our defender, right? Go and be faithful and begin to play that game. And I want to thank Rebecca Dunn, who's sitting here on the second row. We had a church council meeting this week, and she shared with the church council that in her devotional reading, she's no longer reading for the sole purpose of just getting a nugget of truth for herself or to make the day go better or to spend that little time with God. She's now reading the Bible looking for the attributes of God. What does this passage say about God that I need to learn about God? So, Rebecca, thank you for your testimony and blessing our leadership in that. We are to be aware of God's attributes and thank God for those attributes, not only in the morning, but also in the evening time. In their book, Sleeping with Bread, authors Matthew and Sheila Lynn described orphan children during World War II. There in England, buildings had been bombed out and parents had been killed and children end up on the streets and they have no food, they have no provision. And so these children were gathered up and placed in an orphanage for safety out in the country to get them away of harm's way. But the children were having difficulty sleeping, and one would certainly understand. They've seen their homes destroyed. They've seen their parents killed. Certainly these children have a traumatic stress experience that they have gone through. But then they discovered, but what was really aggravating or hurting the children, why they couldn't sleep, is because they were hungry and because they were thinking about the next day. And many had gone to bed at nights at being hungry and not knowing where the next meal would come from. And so those began to do an experiment that were caring for them to give them bread to sleep with. And when they placed the bread into the hands of the children, lo and behold, they knew that the meal was waiting for them the next morning, and they were comforted in such a way that they were able to sleep peacefully. And friends, I want to just remind you that you, by holding God's goodness, by not spending the evening on technology and then trying to shut down and go to bed, or listening to news and getting all riled up about things and then trying to go to bed, why not close the evening out, as the psalmist says, by thinking of the blessings of God and meditating upon God's goodness in your life before you close your eyes to go to sleep? Morning and night represents also all day long. And as Roseman read the scripture for it, it is always a good time to thank the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. The third thing I want to share with you this morning is this: our hearts are also to be glad because of the deeds of the Lord. The deeds of the Lord. Verses 4 and 5 says, you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at your hands, what they have done, how great are your works. Well, it's great to praise God for his creation, and it's wonderful to praise God for his attributes, and it's most important to praise God for our salvation work that God is doing in our lives and how he's redeemed us. These are wonderful works of God, but can we not also thank God for relationships that have been healed, for bodies that were broken that have been healed by God? And when we have heard Kara's story today sing in our sanctuary for the very first time, I know she sung at the Eternal Flame dinner. I know that she sang also for our veterans the other day, but this is the first time for her to sing in the sanctuary and to sing, to God be the glory. He has raised me up, as you heard her voice sing. And friends, you know that she had a very difficult delivery of their baby in April. You know that she was very close to dying. She was very critically ill and was in ICU for 6 days, intubated, and she has a voice, and we praise God for the works of his hands, the healing work of his hands. But we have another story that we're going to hear today from the testimony of the person herself, Pastor Randy Stevens, our dear pastor, who a year ago was fighting to recover from a brain injury. I today want to thank God for answered prayer. I want to praise God for this pastor whose story you're going to hear. And she stands before us today declaring the goodness of God. Pastor Brandy, get up here. We want to hear your wonderful testimony. And thank you for being willing to do it, my friend.
God is good. And we've witnessed that goodness of God as a church so many times. November the 8th was just like any other day for me. A quick morning jog, some errands, and a couple of visits at the hospital before heading off to a student ministry retreat. But something happened that I can't quite explain. As I walked out of the hospital room, I passed out and I hit my head on the floor. As I opened my eyes in the trauma bay, fear began to creep in. The blood was overwhelming. I didn't understand what the doctors were trying to explain to me. In those moments, the Lord surrounded me with my people, bringing peace into my heart. Directly in front of me sat the sweetest face, Miss Ann Patillo. And then came the calmest yet most direct instructions. Brandy, you have to do this. And immediately I recognized the warm and compassionate voice of Leanne Donaldson. I had no idea what she meant when she told me, you have to do this. But what I did know is that I love her and I trust her. Two skull fractures, a fracture in my left ear, blood on the left and right frontal lobes, swelling of my brain, left me in neuro ICU for several days. That room became a sanctuary as worship music played, as prayer was spoken over me day in and day out. I remember looking up and Dr. Baker walking into the room. He placed in my hand a wooden cross. It was a cross that he had carried with him for some time. That cross held the prayers for many relationships, for births, illnesses, countless worship services, and so much more. I clung to that cross, feeling the presence of the Lord in each of you, my Marvin family. As Dr. Baker began to read Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. As I heard those words, my spirit leapt because I was so thirsty. I was so hungry for God. The Lord chose the most amazing team of doctors and of nurses and of therapists, and yet the prognosis wasn't promising. There's a period of time that I don't remember, but as I became somewhat aware of the situation, I listened and I tried to understand as the trauma team explained to my family what the future would look like. Permanent loss of hearing in my left ear. Inability to walk for 6 to 9 months. Recovery of some speech in 6 to 12 months. In that moment, the valley seemed very dark and the mountain seemed insurmountable. I'm so thankful for my family as they made hard decisions when I couldn't. I was overwhelmed with heartache, fear, and church, I'm just going to be honest. I was angry. Why? Laying in the hospital bed, I was not simply hungering, but I was hankering for a taste of God's presence in the midst of my heartbreak and my fear. And in those moments, God spoke directly to my heart in a soft and gentle manner. He reminded me of two words that he had given to me just days before: healing rain. As he so gently placed them on my heart during worship, days before my accident, I had no idea what those words meant. For days, I searched scripture, seeking to understand the words the Lord had spoken to me. It was as I laid in the hospital bed, unable to communicate clearly, unable to move, seeing the heartbreak of my family, that I understood the promise that the Lord had given to me that night in Marvin's chapel. In that moment, I turned my eyes from the mountain as Jesus himself commanded us to speak to our mountains using the power behind our words of faith to move them out of the way. And in those moments, I declared my first words, healing rain. In that moment, my hungering and my thirsting was filled with an anticipation of all that God had promised. I was hungering and I wasn't thirsting alone. My family, my friends, you, my church, were hungering and thirsting with me for a taste of God's presence as we clung to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It was an anchor where Paul speaks of the thorn in his flesh, and Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." This verse became more than simply a comfort. It became my story. It became our story. My family, my friends, my church family extended yourselves and bore witness to the grace and the power and the mercy and the love of Christ, not simply to me, but to the teams of doctors and nurses and techs and therapists and so many more. From the moment that I passed out and hit my head to well beyond my return to Tyler, I never spent a moment alone. Together we heard the prognosis. Together we stormed the gates of heaven. And together we anticipated all that God had promised. Healing rain. When I couldn't feed myself, Shannon, Sarah, Elizabeth, Brittany, Ashley, they showed up, but they didn't show up simply to feed me, but they showed up with a mirror to teach me to feed myself again. The physical therapy, I stood before a set of stairs. It was three small steps, but it might as well have been a mountain to me. Fear and anxiety rushed over my body, and in that moment, I couldn't catch my breath. I just knew I was going to fall, and the Lord sent an image. He gave me an image of the stairs leading to the altar here in the sanctuary. Stairs leading to the altar in the chapel. Stairs leading to the stage and heard worship space. And these images may not seem significant to you, but they were significant to me. Because I had been told that I would never be able to preach or teach again. I would never have the vocabulary. Facing those steps, the fear and the anxiety had taken my breath away. I was desperate. I was hungering and thirsting for a taste of God's presence. As I took the first step, I sought the Lord.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give or send a gift to the church at 300 West Irwin Street, Tyler, Texas, 75702. Thanks again for joining us and have a blessed week.